This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 15. Tony returns from Australia and New Zealand, Part 2. Hey everyone, it's Tony and Mark again, and we are finally back together. How's it going, Tony?
Pretty darn good. I'm happy that we're able to finally arrange a time to do a podcast episode together. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, and it's actually been, well, we're actually not with each other right now. We're on Zoom, but we haven't actually physically been with each other since you left, which is what, in January?
Yeah, over probably 3 months now.
That's pretty crazy. You've been down under for the last, what, 3 months?
Yeah, just under. I think I can probably stop by Baltimore on my way up from Richmond. I'm going to my sister's house in a couple of days for a swim meet. And then I'm taking my parents' car back up to Reading, so I can probably stop by if you're not busy.
Well, we're going to plan that out, obviously. We'll see. Anyways, so we gave you kind of was part one of Tony Goes to Australia and New Zealand a couple weeks ago. And this podcast episode is the continuation of that. So Tony is finally back in the land of the free and the brave. And or not, depends on your take of the USA right now. But he's back in the continental United States. And so we're just going to talk about, you know, what he did and kind of compare what he was thinking going into it and then contrasting what he actually did and all that stuff. So how does that sound, Tony?
Sounds good. We probably should have listened to episode 12 before doing this for a refresher, but we can wing it.
I can give you the general synopsis. You had no idea what the hell you were going to do.
Pretty accurate. Yep. That's right.
All right. So let's get cracking right into it. So right off the bat, what was your favorite thing to do in Australia or New Zealand? Well, actually, let's do both. What was your favorite thing to do in Australia and New Zealand?
Australia, hands down, going to the outback. And that was towards the beginning of my trip. It's just such a such a interesting place that I've never been before. The most comparable thing I can compare to is Arizona, Sedona specifically. Everything's red. All the dirt's red. All the rocks are red. And I went on this 5 or 6 day tour out there in just south of Alice Springs in a place called Uluru. And we slept under the stars in something called swags. Do you know what that is? Have you ever heard of that, Mark?
No.
No. So a swag is essentially like a sleeping bag for your sleeping bag. So you have a sleeping bag, then you put it in this zippable, portable bed that also rolls up. And you don't need a tent, because if it rains, you could just zip it all the way up. And everybody has their own swag. So we did that a few days. I also slept in an underground hostel on that trip as well, because it's just so damn hot. I'm talking 100, 110 degrees Fahrenheit peak during the day. But when you sleep underground, it's a consistent cool 65 to 70 degrees, I'd say.
So wait, let me stop you there. So sleeping underground, was it like a bunker, or was it a cave, or was it like a shed? What do you mean underground?
So underground, yeah. This whole town called Cooper Pedy, just south of central Australia, is, I'd say, 70% underground. All the houses are underground. When you're there, there's these rolling hills, and you can enter the house from street level, air quotes street level, and you go directly underground. And some of the houses, I've only was in a couple of them, but some of them, you know, are just one level that have multiple rooms to either side of the central room. Some of them apparently have steps that you can go down deeper, multiple levels underground, which is also really cool. Does that explain does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. So these are man-made holes?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they essentially either hand dig them or they have a machine to dig them out.
And that's pretty impressive.
The walls are all made of rocks. The ceilings are all made of rocks. If you want to, I guess you could put up paneling and siding on the inside, but the ones I were in were not they were just rock walls, which was really cool.
This sounds like a doomsday shelter. I just want to throw that out.
it could be. It reminded me of, did you ever see that movie Richie Rich?
Yeah. Oh, inside their Mount Richmore, whatever it was called.
Yeah. Kind of like a play on Mount Rushmore. Everything was rock. All the walls and ceilings were rock in that movie. Just the same as this.
Okay. So that's cool. The Outback is super fun in Sydney. But what was your favorite thing also to do in New Zealand?
Oh, this one, easy. I went blackwater rafting. Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
So, as opposed to whitewater rafting, blackwater rafting is in an underground river in a cave. And you actually don't have a raft, as you would think, even though it's called blackwater rafting. You have an inner tube that everybody has their own inner tube that they sit in. And it's kind of like a combination of caving and tubing. So at points you're carrying your tube like through the cave, through like, you know, a very shallow stream of water. In other parts where it's deeper, you sit in your tube and you raft down this like pretty gently flowing river. So a highlight of that was also these glowworms. Okay, so there's these little insects that poop out, what's the word, iridescent?
Bioluminescent.
Bioluminescent poop, or yeah, crap.
Iridescent.
Yeah, I know why I was thinking that, but it's completely irrelevant. So they poop out this green poop that glows, and it lights up the cave, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, you see that in like Puerto Rico, like they're called bioluminescent bays. And essentially, all right, we'll give you some biology behind it. Basically, like you have these squid, and they have these bacteria that lives inside of the squid. And like at some point, these squids will literally just like shoot out the bacteria because they're symbionts. So they like live together harmoniously. Mm-hmm. And so these that's why the squids are bioluminescent. But once they like kind of shoot them out of the body, they kind of just live in the water. And so that's why you have these bays that are just bioluminescent bays. So like when the waves crash to the shore, you see these bright lights because those are all the bioluminescent bacteria.
Yes. Oh my gosh, dude. So also in New Zealand, a different day at the ocean, we went to a place where they had the bioluminescent water. So you can go in the water like 10 or 20 meters and kind of shuffle it up, and you would see it glow. Like you got these little speckles that kind of look like stars. Like they would last like up to 3 seconds and then they go away. But oh my God, that's what that is. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And you know, honestly, you don't get that many bays like that anymore because of just global warming and ecotourism. So they're just kind of getting, we can have Nick on for this actually, but like, I think those are slowly starting to go away just because of environmental and ecotourism pressures and stuff like that. So it's cool that I've never seen that. So it's cool that you got to.
Yeah, it's so cool. What did you said it was specifically squid, or is that just an example of
that? That's an example of kind of the best known bioluminescent bacteria. But I think other creatures have them. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, cool. Yes, yeah, such cool stuff. And if it's something that's fleeting, I highly recommend anybody who has the opportunity to see something like that to.
So what was the bay called?
I'd have to get back to you on that. We could put it in the show notes, maybe.
Yeah, okay. All right. It was called the Bay of Bioluminescence in New Zealand, so check it out.
Probably Haihoa or Heihoa.
Say that in Polynesian. Go fast.
The local name or the local language is Maori. Maori. That's the native New Zealanders.
Oh, I know. I saw Moana.
Moana? What's that?
Yeah. It's a Disney. Oh my God, really? It's a Disney movie about kind of like the first Polynesian settlers. It's like a fantasy type of deal, but it's based off kind of the Polynesian culture.
Okay, so this is different from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, Lilo, but that was Hawaiian.
Right.
Yeah. But Moana is based off kind of Polynesian kind of not folk tales, but like whatever, like their tradition. I think.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like their belief in like demigods and stuff like that.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyways, we're getting off topic. although I do love Moana. In any case. All right. So let's just take it. Let's go through your trip. Like when you started in Sydney, I think we talked about that. You had no idea what you're going to do in Sydney. And I know you went there twice, but just give us like, we don't have to go like schedule wise, but was kind of the thing you did in Sydney that was the most impressive thing, and kind of what was the most exciting thing there?
Yeah, so for me, I guess I had like high expectations for Sydney, but the city itself was kind of like a letdown. It was just like another city. And the thing about it was that it was shockingly familiar. I think because it was an English-speaking country, and a city for that matter, it just seemed like so much like the United States, except for like the accents and some local stuff. But for the most part, I didn't feel like I was anywhere special. Yes, they had the Opera House and a couple other cool things there, like Bondi Beach. But for the most part, it was just, you know, eh. I had to go outside of Sydney, about a two-hour train ride into the Blue Mountains. And that was probably the highlight around Sydney for me. Sydney has this mountain range just outside called the Blue Mountains. And there's this natural landscape, this natural, like, think of it as like the Grand Canyon but filled with trees, okay? And inside of that there's these three rock structures that stick up, and they call them the Three Sisters. That's where most people go out into the Blue Mountains to see that. But what I did was I went on like a half a day hike through the Blue Mountains, and it was really cool. Like, it kind of reminded me of going through the Amazon jungle, like with all these lush tropical trees and exotic animals. Like, I didn't see the animals, but I heard them, like these birds and, you know, whatever else was in there. That was like I said, probably the highlight of my Sydney adventures.
Why didn't they call them the Three Brothers?
I couldn't answer that. I didn't actually sit there and read the history behind it.
Well, you know, you should have.
I should have. But I was actually let down, because when I went there in the morning, you couldn't see down. You couldn't even see the Three Sisters, which were like, I'd say like 100 meters from the lookout, because of that much fog being there. I had to go.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I was a little bit disappointed. So I had to go back after my hike and then get the proper picture with it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Is this up on your Instagram?
No, I did not post that on my Instagram.
Okay. All right. So when we first did this, when we did part one, I talked to you about my experience at the Sydney Opera House. Did you see those triangle things that I was talking about?
I did. Did I end up sending you the picture of it?
You didn't send me the picture.
Oh, shit.
You didn't send me. Did you take a picture?
It's on my phone, yes.
Okay.
And it was exactly like you described it. Like, just this, like, 90-degree triangle, like, slant that goes into the building. And right above it is a sign that says, do not climb on it, or, like, do not sit on it, or just stay away.
Yeah. Was there a security guard outside, or like a worker?
No, I didn't see anybody like patrolling. Okay. It was a pretty big building.
Yeah, it's a pretty big building. But anyways, just to recap, if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to part one. Actually, you should go listen to part one before this anyways.
Yeah, if you haven't, it's episode 12.
Episode 12, Tony Goes to Australia and New Zealand, part one.
That's right.
But yeah, send me that picture.
Okay, yeah, and we'll stick it in the show notes as well, which will be at the451podcast.com/15.
Okay, all right, cool. So moving on from Sydney, I know you took a juicy camper or whatever. Is it a camper or a van? What do they actually call it?
Camper van.
A camper van. So you took that from where?
Well, one step back, I flew from Sydney to the Outback, which we already talked about. The Outback took us all the way down south, from the central Australia all the way down south to the south coast, over the course of 6 days, to a place called Adelaide, which is where I stayed for like a week. There wasn't really much there. And then I got the camper van there in Adelaide and took it back over to Sydney. But along that way, I went on the Great Ocean Road. And you alluded to Jucy, J-U-C-Y, which is the camper van rental company. And actually, a layer on top of that I want to talk about is this super awesome service, Transfer Car. So Transfer Car is actually what I use to initiate my camper van rental. And what Transfer Car is essentially a rental car relocation search engine. So I logged on to Transfer Car and wanted to find a one-way car rental from Adelaide to Sydney. And lo and behold, I found one for free for 5 days. So, you know, they sent me a confirmation email. I showed up at Juicy and they gave me the keys to a Juicy camper van for 5 days. And I didn't pay him a single penny, which was freaking awesome.
That's pretty cool. Are you going to write a blog post on that?
I already did. I'll link it in the show notes.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, link in the show notes. Man, you're just hitting all the strokes.
Of course. I'm on top of it.
Okay. And so that great, what was it? Great
Ocean Road.
Coastal. Great Ocean Road. Great Ocean Road.
Yeah.
So what did you actually see along that Great Ocean Road?
So
how great was it?
Right, right. I'm going to start sounding like a pessimist here, but I actually was kind of let down with the Great Ocean Road as well. The highlight of the Great Ocean Road, well, first of all, what the Great Ocean Road is like, I'd say like 100 miles along the south coast of Australia of coastal driving. And there's multiple stops along there with these seaside cliffs and rock structures in the water. And each of them have their own name. The most famous one is the 12 Apostles, which are kind of like we were talking about the three sisters, just like three rocks up in the middle of that canyon. Well, in this case, it's 12. Well, it's not actually 12, but just imagine 12 rocks jutting out from the ocean right off the coast. And I say there's not 12 because I think there's only like 7 or 8 left because they fell over the years, but they kept the name 12 Apostles.
Coastal erosion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Global warming's a big thing, man.
We can attribute that to global warming, you think?
I mean, just erosion, probably.
Trying to sneak.
Let's just become alarmist and say it's global warming, even though it's probably just coastal erosion. But I mean, coastal erosion is a big problem too. But
yeah,
that's an episode for Nick on a different time.
Yeah, gotta get Nick back on here.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that I was let down by the Ocean Road maybe is because the weather was overcast that day. It was kind of cool out as well. So maybe if it was like a brighter day with sunshine and warmer temperatures, I would have had a better experience. But just overall, even though I had like the camper van and all that, it was just like, again.
I gotcha. Speaking of weather, like what was the weather conditions while you were there? Just like kind of, was it super warm or not? I mean, in the outback, right, it's super hot.
Oh, but yeah.
Outside of that desert, how was it?
Actually, besides that Great Ocean Road stretch, it was beautiful weather. It only rained a couple times. I'd say, depending on if you're in Melbourne or Sydney, anywhere from like 75 up to like 90 plus degrees Fahrenheit. So it was pretty ideal weather, especially considering back where you are, Mark, it's like freezing cold that whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was pretty chilly.
Was there snow at all?
I don't remember.
You don't, in the past,
they all blur together.
I think I remember you telling me that it was snowing at some point, at least.
I'm sure there was snow. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, you try to block it out.
Well, there wasn't like a significant snowfall to actually like say, like, oh, yes,
right.
There was. We probably got like a couple inches, but like they're nothing. It was really weird because there were days where you'd have in Maryland, you'd have like really freezing weather and then like kind of like 50 degree weather. So it was very I mean, even right now, you don't really, the weather doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't know if it wants to be freezing cold one day or super hot the next day. But I think we're slowly, I mean, it's springtime, right? So we're slowly transitioning to more stable, warmer weather. But yeah, that stretch was just weird. It was like, it wasn't like super warm, but it wasn't like super freezing at the same time. So global warming is happening, Tony, right before our eyes.
Sneaking it in there again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay. So after that Juicy camper van, didn't you go to Tasmania after that, or is that am I out of order?
No.
But you did go to Tasmania, right?
You're absolutely right. Yep. Right after that, dropped the car off in Sydney, caught a flight that same day down to Tasmania. And for those of you who don't know, which I did not know before going there, Tasmania is an island off the coast of South Australia. And I think a lot of people think that it's its own country, but it's just a state in Australia. So similar to the Juicy camper van that I had on the Great Ocean Road, I rented a car camper, okay? And I didn't even know these things existed. It's essentially just like a four-seater car where they took out the back seat and put in like this wooden box for storage. And once you put down the two front seats, like recline them all the way back, you could put this platform, like a couple 2x4s and then a piece of plywood on top of that and a mat on top of that, and transform your car into a bed, like, and sleep there. And I did that for a full week, driving around Tasmania and seeing all the natural beauty that Tasmania has to offer.
Okay, that's cool. So the camper car this time around, but what did you actually do in Tasmania? Did you see any Tasmanian devils?
I did. I was hoping to see one over the course of like the first 7 days that I was there, but I didn't. So I had to cave in and go to they call it an unzoo, UNZOO, to be like, you know, it's not an actual zoo because there's no fences. They have this like sanctuary for Tasmanian devils there. And I think, where was that? That was just outside of Hobart, which is like the main city in Tasmania. So I went there. I think I paid like $25 to see a Tasmanian devil, which was completely worth it in retrospect. These are such interesting creatures that really only exist in Tasmania.
Did you pet it?
Yeah, right. Those things. So I can't remember the specific fact, but they have one of the strongest draws. I watched a Tasmanian devil eat through, I think it was a kangaroo, like raw kangaroo meat, and just crunch the bone. And that sound is going to stick with me for a good while.
That's nice. So you would say the cartoon of the Tasmanian devil is biologically appropriate?
Yeah, except for the whole spinning around thing. They don't really do that.
And they're also black, and the Tasmanian devil's like, what, gray, I think? It's not black.
Yeah, they're black and white as opposed to the cartoon, which is not that color.
I think they're gray or brown. I think it's gray or brown, the cartoon.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
But okay, cool. And so Tasmania, that sounds pretty awesome. Is there anything else you did there? I mean, you were there for, what, 7 days, you said?
Yeah. I ended up, although I was like solo at that point, I met up with this other group of individual travelers who I kind of tagged along with, and we did a couple hikes there in one of the many national parks that they have in Tasmania. And then once they split off, I went to a camper van park for a couple days and caught up on some blogging there. And after that, I went back to Hobart and flew back out and went to Melbourne.
Okay. All right. So let's hit up, you said Melbourne. So you went to Melbourne. Is it Melbourne or Melbourne?
Actually, fun fact, it's Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah, that's how the locals pronounce it.
That's like Medi.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Medellin.
Medellin.
Medellin. Okay. Okay. So Melbourne. Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Okay. Melbourne.
Like a trash bin.
Is that the capital of Australia? Did we actually figure that out? I think we did, right? It's the capital of Australia, or just the province or state?
It's just the city. And again, we were wrong. So the capital of Australia is not Sydney or Melbourne.
Is it Adelaide?
It's not Adelaide either.
Is it Perth? I'm just major cities that I don't know.
No, you're hitting all the big ones. So the capital is something called Canberra, I think.
Canberra, that's Canberra. Right. Okay, yeah. I've heard of that one.
It's so weird. Yeah. The reason that Canberra exists is only to be the capital, because I guess Australians couldn't figure out, did they want the capital to be Sydney, or did they want the capital to be Melbourne? So Canberra, which exists pretty much halfway in between the two, was developed for that purpose, to house the capital. So that's where all the buildings are.
Is Melbourne and Sydney are in different, they call them provinces or states?
Yes, they're in different states. Sydney is in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And Melbourne is, I don't know if it's Victoria or Queenstown. One of the two.
It doesn't matter. So is Canberra its own state, kind of like Washington, D.C. then?
I think, yeah. I think they have their own like capital city state there. Yeah. So, yeah. What was I going to say about that? I don't know.
Well, either way, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, so they copied us, essentially. They copied the United States.
Yeah, with D.C., yeah. I did not go there. I was within like a 45-minute drive at one point, but I'm like reading about it, and it's really not worth it to to see. Nothing special there.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So in Melbourne. What did you do there? Melbourne.
I really liked Melbourne. So they have a waterfront there, but it's not actually an ocean. So a lot of people trash on Melbourne because it doesn't have an ocean, but it's like this really large bay that you can hang out there. So I hung out there for a couple of days at the beach. They have this, it's not a boardwalk, but just like an awesome waterfront path and like a little amusement park in St. Kilda, which is one of the beachfront towns there. Also, you can go see penguins. So every day at sunset, these penguins return from being out in the bay in the ocean, and they come up to the rocks along the ocean there, or the water there, and dry off and, I guess, sleep in between the rocks for the night. So that was something that I did a couple times in Melbourne.
You slept with the penguins in the rocks? Is that what you said?
If I said that, I did not mean to say that. No, I just went to look at them at sunset.
But you wanted to, though. That's what you're saying.
I totally would have, yes.
That's illegal, Tony. We don't want you to get thrown into Australian jail.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing. What else did we do in Melbourne? So that was like St. Kilda, this area that I'm talking about. That's all outside of like the central business district, or they call it locally the CBD. But inside the CBD, you have, you know, all the skyscrapers and tall buildings, which, so I'm still not sure about this. I saw two conflicting statistics about this. So you have the Southern Hemisphere, and I've read one place that the tallest building in the Southern Hemisphere is in Melbourne. I can't remember the name of it, Sky Tower maybe, something like that. But then I also read somewhere else that the tallest building in the Southern Hemisphere is in Auckland. So I would I'm going to, before I write the show notes for this episode, I'm going to confirm which one is the case, and we'll settle that once and for all.
Okay. Okay, cool. You didn't hit up the west side, right? You didn't hit up the Perth or anything?
No, did I did not, but I would definitely go back and do that. I know.
I told you to go, and your uncle was, you listened to your uncle.
I did.
I like Billy. I love Billy, but Billy gave you the wrong advice this time.
As you all know by this time, I'm like very interested in natural beauty, and although there's a big city out there called Perth, I would be more interested in like starting my trip there and just traveling up along the northwest coast of Australia, all the way up to the north coast. I met a lot of people that told me really, really good things about that like trek or that itinerary. So sometime in the future, part three maybe.
Okay. You didn't go to the Barrier Reef or anything, right?
No, that's something else that I did not do.
It's dying, Tony.
I know.
It's dying.
I know.
It's going to be dead by the time part three comes out.
Yeah, you're right. I heard that as well. But it was just one of those things that I had to prioritize. I only had 3 months, and it just couldn't fit it in.
No. You had 3 months, and you just said, I appreciate natural beauty. And then you just said, I don't care about the Great Barrier Reef. So you're contradicting yourself, Tony.
Yeah, maybe so.
Actually, did it seem like it was hard to get to, though? I mean, that's kind of, if that would have, I guess, swayed your decision, if it was just hard to get to.
It was. Like, in the loop that I did, it wasn't really anywhere near that. And mm-hmm. Australia's a big place. I think it takes like 6 hours to fly across. So just as big as the U.S. pretty much. Yeah, it was just out of the way. We'll go with that.
All right. All right, well, part three coming to you at some point before the Great Barrier Reef dies. All right, so let's make our way over to New Zealand. So, Tony, tell us about what you did there. So, what was your favorite thing to do in New Zealand? Oh, the rafting, that's right. So, what was beyond the rafting, what was your favorite thing to do?
So, in New Zealand, I, outside of like a couple of days in the beginning and one day at the end, I was on a 20-day guided tour of both the North Island and the South Island of New Zealand. So I had a really good overview of New Zealand from both islands' perspectives. We started in Auckland and ended up in Christchurch. And that whole trip, like I said, took us 20 days. I can't even, like, there's so much that we did on this trip that I'm only going to have time to tell you a couple of the highlights. Outside of blackwater rafting, one of the highlights was something called the Tongarura Crossing. And what that is you get dropped off on a bus in the morning, right, just before 9 o'clock, and you literally hike up a volcanic mountain, and by lunchtime you take a break, you look at some Yellowstone-esque like hot springs and pools that are green and blue in color, and you can smell the sulfur in the air and all that stuff. And then you have another 3 hours or so to hike back down to the other side of the crossing, the other side of the volcano, and get picked up by the bus in the evening. So that was just stunningly beautiful. And like what I like to say is, like, just think of what you think of a volcano looking like a perfect cone-shaped volcano. That's what it looked like there, with the colors and everything. So it's stunningly beautiful.
Was it an active volcano?
I there was no smoke coming out of it, but I would guess that maybe it is active, just because of all the activity that I saw around it, with like some springs and steam coming out of other sections of the crossing.
Okay. So why do they call it the Tonga Ruren?
I have no idea.
Well, I know Tonga is a people, like, right? Tonga is like a Polynesian race.
It could have something to do with that. Yeah.
I think Tonga is actually an island.
Oh, is it?
I think Tonga is actually an island, because when I went to the Polynesian Cultural Center in Hawaii, Tonga is like a place.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an island.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Okay. Was there another thing you wanted to add about New Zealand?
Definitely the bioluminescent water that we saw, that we talked about earlier, was really cool. Just near there, and I think it's Haihea, is this thing called Hot Water Beach, and it's so cool. So the water in the ocean at the beach is not hot. It's the water that comes up underneath the sand that's hot. So when you go to this beach, you literally see, have you ever read the book Holes? Like,
no.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Oh, the book Holes. I think I said Coles.
No, yeah. No.
Holes, H-O-L-E-S. Yes, I know Holes.
Yeah.
Very well. Shia LaBeouf, great actor.
Stanley Yelnats.
Stanley Yelnats.
So it's literally like that, where there's just all these like big holes dug that you can like, so the water, you know, when you dig a hole in the beach, the water comes up from underneath. You dig these holes and you get this hot water just flowing into it. And at points it's like to the point where you can't even like stick your foot in it, 'cause it's that hot. So you have to be careful, but you just, people go there and just lounge out in these like man-made hot tubs.
So is it kind of like a natural spring? Is that why?
Yeah. But the fact that it's just like right, literally right on the coast of the water, you can, when the tide comes in, it covers up these hot springs. So by the evening you have the water washing away all these holes.
Oh, I got you. So the water, so you dig this hole, the water goes into the hole, and then the ground heats it up. Or is it the hot water seeping through the ground into the hole?
The latter, yeah. The hot water that seeps to the ground in the hole is what heats it up. It's not until the evening when the tide comes in that you mix the two.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's really cool. So how long did you stay there for? Like, was it just like a day thing?
Yeah, pretty much on this tour, which was one of the things that I didn't like about it. It was a Stray Tour. That's the name of the company. You get like a brief introduction into each one of these places for like a day, at most like 2 days. So it was really like a quick thing. We were only there for maybe two and a half hours. But, you know, it was a good overview of New Zealand in general. So I wouldn't regret it, or I don't regret it.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I mean, it sounds like New Zealand was popping and Australia was not popping.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I think it was just like, I had so much packed into 20 days in New Zealand that it just seemed like, you know, one thing after another, day after day.
Yeah. So is there anything you want to, so I'm going to move on to the next point, but is there anything else you want to add about New Zealand?
So yeah, I guess I should mention this. Like, New Zealand is known for its like extreme adventurous sports, like skydiving, bungee jumping, all that stuff. I was supposed to go bungee jumping one day at one of the world's like tallest bungee jumps. I think 143 meters. Hell no, I did not chicken out. I wanted to go so bad, but it was raining that day and it was just like a miserable day and you had to get up early and go. And I was just like, screw it, I'm not going. I'll go tomorrow. And then I never went the next day. So if I do go back, I would do that again in retrospect.
That's only you, man. I'm not going to do that. I like living.
Funny. So somebody, this is really funny. Somebody who was like super worried about skydiving and bungee jumping went bungee jumping. She was like, you know, she's worried that she's going to die, obviously, because it's like a high risk activity. Her strap. So apparently for bungee jumping, all they do is like wrap a towel around your legs, like in like a figure eight fashion, and then put a rope around the part where the eight crosses, like between your legs. And that's how they like, and then they like strap that in as well. But that's how they let you go, like bungee jump.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For her strap came loose, and she got, yeah, she was okay. Like she didn't fall or, you know, anything like that, but her strap came loose. She got like a black and blue leg from doing this. And I just thought it was funny or ironic that it's not funny at all. I thought it was ironic that the person who was super worried about it, that ended up happening to.
Did they say that happens frequently, or is that just kind of like a 1 in 100 type of ordeal? Or like 1 in 1,000, 100 actually is a pretty good chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the frequency of it happening, but you know, they had to like report it, document it, and all that stuff with paperwork. So I can't give you a solid answer with that.
No. Yeah. I mean, the bungee jumping is dangerous if it's not. I mean, it's, I think equipment probably failure is the reason why those accidents happen rather than human error.
Oh, for sure. Right? Yeah, I agree.
All right. So I listened to part one a couple weeks ago, but I remember kind of the main sticking point for this trip, and we'll end it on this note, is that you went to Europe, you've gone to South America, you've gone to Italy and India. And obviously those trips have all been different experiences and different kind of setups. So when we talked about this in part one, this was supposed to be kind of a more laid back ordeal. You're not going to a city every other few days. You're kind of just moseying on wherever you wanted to go. And so I guess New Zealand wasn't like that because you're on that tour. But how would you say kind of that setup for backpacking differed from your past experiences? Did you like it this kind of way, or did you not like it? Did you get bored? Like, I could easily see you getting bored pretty easily in a couple different spots.
Yeah, I would not use the word boredom for me. That's definitely a possibility with me, though, because I do get bored really easily. But in those times where it was like downtime for me in a city where I was for like 5, 6, 7 days at a time, I always went back to focusing on, you know, building a website or making a video or blogging or, you know, podcasting with you. There was always some way to fill my time by doing something productive. And you know, that's not going to be the case for most people, but I still highly recommend at this point slow travel if you have the time to spare, because you do get to go deeper and experience a city in a deeper manner than you would if you're just seeing it on the surface by changing cities every day.
Okay. So you like the slow kind of trip, and you also got to get other commitments out of the way. Instead of just like traveling, you're able to just like, you know, take a day, write your blogs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, okay. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So do you think you're going to do this format from now on, or are you going to go the rapid fire stuff?
I'm going to keep going with what I like, which is the slow travel at this point. And
all right.
Yeah, I got the time to spare, so I'm going to do it.
Okay, cool. So with that being said, we've probably hit around 35 to 40 minutes of the podcast. So is there anything else you want to add before we leave?
That's all I got. If you do want to, I'm writing some blog posts about New Zealand and whatnot, so I'll link those in the show notes if you guys are interested to see some more stuff that I've done, some pictures and all that. So check it out, the451podcast.com/15.
Okay. And with that being said, we will see you guys and girls next time. Take it easy.
See y'all.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the451podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us,
shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.